coming up on 3 and Out.
Snap, Broncos jump over the ball, and they block the extra point, and it's picked up. Denver's running down the field. Parks into the end zone, a two-point conversion.
After a wild ending in New Orleans, the Broncos head into a much-needed bye week.
Have some time to get your body back healthy and just get away from football. It's always good.
With six games remaining, the Broncos expect big things from Trevor Siemian.
He's got to continue to play big for this team. Not okay. We need him to play big.
Everybody's busy, but you'd have to be crazy to miss this show.
Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place. I'm crazy, wild, confident, and then I'm kind of crazy again.
3 and Out starts right now. Hello, and thank you for joining us for 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. I'm Phil Milani, and we have a great bi-week edition of the show lined up for you. So let's get things started with First Down. Here now with Matt Boyer and talking about the quarterback position as the Broncos head into the bye week. Trevor Siemian, 7-2 as a starter. That's pretty good for the first year for him starting in the NFL. Head coach Gary Kubiak said moving forward, he needs Trevor to be good, not just okay.
Yeah, I mean, had I told you at the beginning of the year Trevor Siemian's going to be 7-2 as a starter at this point, would you have taken that?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So he's been, last game, 25 of 40, 258 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Pretty good numbers as far as a starting quarterback goes. You don't like the 2 turnovers. Trevor said as much. You need to get those things corrected moving forward. And Coach Kubiak said this week that, you know, he expects more of Trevor, and I think he's going to get those things corrected. He does need to work on some footwork things. He said he's got a long list of things to work on during this bye week, but nothing major, nothing that Broncos fans should be too concerned about. So
it's funny how some of those mistakes don't look quite as bad when you win the game.
Right, right. I think, like you said, you know, if it were not for that miraculous play at the end of the Saints game, we might be talking about those 2 interceptions. However,
6 sacks, that's right. A lot too.
That is, it's not a great number, but like we mentioned, you know, it's a team game. The record speaks for itself, and I think you just need to do enough to win, and he has done that.
Yeah, well, like you said, we would have taken 7-2 at this point in the season. Moving forward though, the team's looking at these next 6 games as playoff games, and they know that there's great expectations on Trevor Siemian's shoulders.
I've coughed it up the last 2 weeks, so you can't do that. And there's a long list of things for me and everybody else. So, we'll work on that next week, but feel good about everything going forward. Kub expects a lot out of me. I expect a lot out of myself, truthfully. So, I take it for what it is, and I'd rather have that than, you know, the other way around.
Time now for a second down, and we're joined by Andrew Mason, who's ready for the bye week, wearing his Super Bowl 50 sweatshirt, talking about Demaryius Thomas. Head coach Gary Kubiak said he had his best game of the season against New Orleans.
He had his best game, and certainly when you look at the touchdown catch that he had in the fourth quarter from Trevor Siemian, basically that's a 50-50 ball against the defender. And frankly, that's something that the Broncos need to do more of in the next 6 games. Trevor Siemian has even talked about how he's got to give Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders their shots. Look, they're getting elite money. They are elite receivers. Even in spite of not having the workload they'd want, they're both on pace for over 1,000 yards, both on pace for 85-plus catches. I think Siemian knows that he simply has to give them shots. Even if there's tight coverage, expect that quite often they're going to make a play. And you look at the fact they've got 8 touchdowns this season. They had 6 touchdowns combined in the first 5 games, only 2 in the last 5 games. That's something they need to improve. And I think if Trevor Siemian has that commitment to getting them the ball, even when they're in tight one-on-one coverage, you're going to see more plays like you saw Sunday.
Demaryius Thomas, 8 catches for 87 yards and that touchdown. The thing that stood out to me, though, Mace, was the spike afterwards. I like seeing that fire from DT. Is that something we need to see more of from him?
More from him and more from the entire offense. Look, there's been a lot of frustration building up for the offense in recent weeks. It's obvious, what's been going wrong. It hasn't been as efficient as you would like. You know, there were some cathartic moments for the offense. If you can cut the turnovers, there's been 2 giveaways by Trevor Siemian in each of the last 3 games. If you can cut those giveaways, then I think you've got something this offense can build on.
Well, during those frustrating moments, it takes leadership to step up and get everybody on the same page. And that's something that Kubiak said he's seen from DT.
I just think along the way, Demaryius has kind of seen the fact that hey, Peyton's not here, from a leadership. And he has slowly, me watching him work himself into taking the group over, being a little bit more vocal, because that's really not him, but you're watching him take on that personality a little bit more. So I think we kind of expected that to happen, and he's doing his job and playing really well.
Time for third down, and now we're joined by Ben Swanson. Time for the best part of the show, in our opinion.
Too kind.
We're talking about the rookie safeties, revisiting that last play, almost the last play against the Saints, the game-winning return for a two-point conversion.
Yeah, how amazing is that? A play you never see, and in fact, the first defensive two-point conversion ever so far, that since they changed the rule that you can score in a defensive play. So, really exciting. And for two rookies to do it is incredible. The level of execution by both those guys to do both their roles like to perfection. Jumping over the center, the long snapper, and then Will Park staying off to the side to catch the ball and then run it back to the score. Incredible.
It's incredible. The way the NFL has changed the rules, you really have to watch that extra point now. You never know what's going to happen. And besides just that play, those two have really had an impact on this team as rookies.
Yeah, and I've actually been talking to Wade Phillips just before we taped the show, and I asked him about them, and he thought they were doing extremely well. You know, coming in to fill a role that previously a longtime veteran had with David Bruton Jr. back there, and they don't even have another veteran back there. They have so much trust in these guys that they can do what they need to do perfectly as those nickel or dime packages, that they have all the confidence they need in two rookies to step up and work very well with the rest of that secondary.
Sometimes what makes a safety so good is just being in the right place at the right time. We saw Darian Stewart do that with his three turnovers. But
you see, skill.
Yeah, you got to be in the. It takes. You have a knack, and these two young guys certainly know where to be to in the right moments. And it was their welcome to the NFL moment.
Yeah, still Ridley hasn't hit. I mean, I thought it did yesterday after it sunk in. I got to, you know, meet with some family and friends, and then woke up this morning and I was like, dang, you know, that was wild, you know, getting text still and everything like that.
You know, after that, all that matters is that we get the win. I mean, obviously, I mean, being in this league, you want everybody to know who you are, but when you winning in this league, you can't beat that at all.
Time now for fourth down, but before we get to your Twitter questions, a quick word from American Financing. When we come back, we'll be joined by our intern extraordinaires.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes and can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
We're back here on 3 and Out. It's time for everybody's favorite part of the show. I'm Caroline Disley.
I'm Eric Talala. We'll get to your questions in a second, but first I just want to bring up this one tweet right here from Solomon Walling, who says, just saw Phil Milani and Matt Boyer at Cafe Du Monde. That's in New Orleans. But the thing I want to point out here is that the entire cafe stood up and cheered when the Michigan Wolverines lost to Iowa last weekend. Matt Boyer, if you see him on the street, give him a hug. He's a little upset. But first, and now that we're done with that, let's get back to your questions. Daniel Gonzalez, the number one fan, wants to know, could Derek Wolfe be back for the Kansas City Chiefs game on November 27th? Matt, why don't you take that one in between your tears?
Well, I'm going to take a line from Coach Kubiak and tell you, I'm not a doctor. I don't feel real comfortable speculating on whether or not he will or won't play. I will say, though, that the Broncos are feeling good about his prognosis. I think that Coach Kubiak has said as much. He feels good about where Derek is, but he's not ready to put a timetable on any type of return or a hard deadline as to when he needs to play. I do think, though, the Broncos have gotten great contributions from guys like Adam Gotsis. Gotsis, we saw play extensive minutes last game, played pretty well, and I thought against the Saints, Jared Krick had one of his best games as a Bronco. I don't think that really puts a lot of pressure on Derek Wolfe to return immediately. They do, of course, want him back. He's a Pro Bowl caliber defensive lineman, so I think that when they do get him back, it'll only spell good things for the Broncos.
Thanks, Matt. You seem like you're doing better. Caroline, you want to take the next one?
Of course. This might be the best question we have ever gotten on 3 and Out, and Mace, you're going to have a perfect answer. It is, what Star Wars characters would you associate with the current Broncos? How about the all-time greats? Who's Luke Skywalker? Come on, Mace.
Well, we'll start with an all-time great, John Elway. I think you have to say Luke Skywalker, you know, very strong with the Force, as it were, as far as football guys would go. On this year's team, wow, Von Miller, that's a good one. That'd be another guy who'd be strong with the Force. Maybe you have Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you know, just like Obi-Wan, Von is prone to some philosophical moments at times. So, you know, that would be one. C-3PO, you'd think about a player that maybe talks too much. So perhaps Aqib Talib is a very chatty guy on the field and in the locker room. Maybe he's a little bit of a C-3PO. And I guess would that make Chris Harris Jr. R2-D2 kind of, you know, one who's always at his side, but, you know, has all sorts of ways to solve problems, bails you out in a pinch. Chewbacca, Derek Wolfe. Look at the way he roars and gestures after he makes some big sacks. We could go on with this, and you know, it sounds like something we ought to have an article on DenverBroncos.com about in the next few weeks, especially with Star Wars Rogue One coming out in December.
The Duke would be Luke. Thanks, Mace. Eric, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, last one from Dylan West, who apparently has forgotten that the Broncos are 7-3, wants to know, what are the possible scenarios for the future of the QB position? Trade one, keep both, and who starts and for how long? Swanson, go ahead. Don't get yourself fired.
Well, that's a lot of options there, and frankly, it's really too early to tell, but of course, for us who are just thinking about it, it can't be too early to think about it, right? But when you look forward to the future, the big two options that we know are going to be there is Trevor and, of course, Paxton. And Trevor has come along as not only just like a solid player on the offense, but as a leader. He was named the captain recently. So he's doing things right to gain respect inside that room. And as long as he keeps making progress, as Coach Kubiak has said he is, then he has a good shot, you know, of course, to retain his position going through the offseason. Of course, that kind of stays along with how much progress he makes during the offseason. On the other hand, Paxton Lynch has a ton of potential. That's why they picked him in the first round and they traded to get there. So if he makes the potential that they see in him, he can have a shot at that starting position going forward. Of course, that means that he has to overcome some of the youth that he's shown this season. That's kind of the way the room is shaping up right now. Of course, we'll learn a lot more about it as the offseason comes and how it'll shape up after that.
Thanks, Swanson. I think you're safe for now.
And thank you guys, as always, for your questions. Please keep sending them in. Phil, it's back to you.
Thank you very much, guys. Some good critter questions this week. Mace, what about Yoda? You forgot about him. Anyway, that's going to do it for this week's show. I'm Phil Milani. Special thanks to Matt Boyer, Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, Austin Brink behind the camera, Caroline Disley, and Eric Dalala, our intern extraordinaires. And that's going to do it for 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.